Item 15, which is the legislative update. Where is Karen? This is your item. Welcome. The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you very much. This is an information item regarding legislation that passed this year, and it becomes effective on January 1 of next year, so just in a few weeks now. Some of these bills that we'll go over today, we've already discussed in the past, but this is a cumulative memo of all the bills that seem to have impact on CICERA or would be interesting to the board. So there is a memo in the packet that outlines, summarizes these bills. And the first one is AB 551, and that extended the COVID-19 disability presumption by 1 year. So now it'll expire on January 1, 2024. Next, we have AB 1824, and that was a bill that was sponsored by SACRS, the State Association of County Retirement Systems, of which CICERA is a member, one of 20 retirement systems that fall under the CERL, the County Employees Retirement Law of 1937. So SACRS put together a list of changes that they thought would be good to have. They're mostly clarifying of existing provisions or adding definitions. So the first one, which is on page one of the memo, has to do with defining a beneficiary to include a corporation, a trust, or an estate, but only for purposes of Government Code Section 31452.7, which is the one that governs that payment that happens upon the death of a member, a payment from CICERA for retirement allowances, a retirement allowance that was earned but not yet paid to the member, and that needs to be paid to the member's designated beneficiary. So that word beneficiary for the purposes of this provision is now defined to include a corporation, a trust, or an estate. Next, and we're on page two of the memo at the top, this same bill, AB 1824, adds that members are not prohibited from receiving service credit for periods of federal public service if federal law expressly permits the credit, even though the member is already entitled to receive a pension or retirement allowance from that service. And that clarification is consistent with a court decision that was issued in 1980 that says the same thing. And so basically just providing more specificity to that provision in the CERL to align with the court decision. And then next, there's a clarification in the law regarding the date of retirement, and that date of retirement can't be earlier than the date of filing of the retirement application, and can't be more than 60 days after the date of filing. Next, the changes addressed how to compute the compensation for a period of time where there's an absence, and that compensation needs to be based on the compensation of the position held by the member at the beginning of the absence. Okay, so on page three of the memo, we have AB 1971, and that again was sponsored by SACRS. The first change has to do with the ability to purchase service for uncompensated leave of absence on account of an illness, and it allows counties to choose whether they want to extend that to situations where the member is on unpaid leave on account of an illness of a family member, so not the illness of the member themselves. In that case, the member would have to pay for both the member and employer contributions for that time. Again, this is a provision that only applies if the County Board of Supervisors adopts it for that county. In our situation, this provision has not been adopted So it's not applicable to Sisera, but it is in the law. So it is it's on the menu of options that could one day apply if it gets adopted. Next, there's a clarification regarding how to deal with furloughs to the extent that there's a temporary and mandatory furloughs, the same service credit and compensation earnable or pensionable compensation to which the members would have been entitled in the absence of the furlough. That is what we need to use for purposes of retirement. And that is consistent with how Sisera has handled previous furloughs that occurred in the county. Next, AB 1971 has to do with service of retirees after retirement, and it clarifies that to the extent someone is serving on a part-time board commission, they are able to do that and continue to receive their retirement allowance. So moving on to page four, the two other changes in this bill are that basically if someone is retiring, filing an application for a disability, but service retiring while the application for disability is pending, if the disability is granted, number one, the member is able to change the options that they selected at retirement, whether it was unmodified or another option. And also the system would then make adjustments based on that choice retroactive to the effective date of the disability retirement. Let me pause here and see if there's any questions.
Any question? I don't see any hands up right now. No questions right now, Karen.
Okay, moving on to AB 2449. We mentioned this one previously. This is a Brown Act change, and it has to do with teleconferencing. Basically, as you know, we had an item earlier today that where the board reconsidered the situation and decided whether to continue the teleconference. That was done under a change in the law that occurred with AB 361. And so that's one option of boards utilizing teleconferencing. Another option is the traditional teleconferencing rules that have been in the Brown Act for a number of years, even before COVID. Sisera has utilized those in the past, and that's where a board member can teleconference, but in the location where they are, they need to have an agenda posted and make that location open to the public as well. So that's the traditional teleconferencing rules. So this AB 2449 is a third option for teleconferencing. It's a third option that will become effective January 1 of next year, so just in a couple weeks. And it does require, though, that at least a quorum of the trustees meet in person in a physical location. So that's a big difference than from what we're doing now. There would have to be at least a quorum present. The board member who's utilizing this in teleconferencing can only do so if they have just cause or emergency circumstances. I'll explain those in a minute. The law will limits the number of meetings that can be handled this way. And board members who do participate remotely this way must do so through both audio and visual technology. So you have to have your audio on, you have to have your video on, and the trustees must publicly disclose whether any individual over the age of 18 is present at the remote location with the board member. Now, in addition to that, the legislative body itself must provide either a two-way audiovisual platform or a two-way telephonic service and a live webcasting of the meeting to allow the public to remotely hear and visually observe the meeting and remotely address the legislative body. So let's explain what this legislation means by using the terms just cause or emergency circumstances. These are the two only ways that allow a trustee to participate remotely this way. Emergency circumstances are defined to mean a physical or family medical emergency that prevents a board member from attending in person. And just cause is limited to one of three situations. One of them is a childcare or caregiving need of a child, parent, grandparent, and so forth. Two is a contagious illness that prevents a board member from attending in person. And three, a need related to a physical or mental disability. Now, there is a limitation on just cause, and board members would only be allowed up to two virtual attendance per calendar year based on just cause. So there's a two-meeting limitation on that. There's an additional limitation just generally of participating remotely under this procedure of no more than three consecutive months or 20% of the regular meetings within a calendar year. So again, the legislature here is saying you can do this, but you're limited in terms of how long and how many meetings you can do this for. With just cause, the board member would have to notify the legislative body that they have this issue, that they have just cause to participate remotely. And when it comes to emergency circumstances, the board member needs to request from the board approval to allow them to participate remotely.
And so, a quick question with that, Karen, for the emergency provision. So is it sort of like adding something to the agenda at the last minute where you would have the vote of the board? So if someone woke up Cicera board meeting with a fever and a cough, and they then you could do it that way as opposed to having to post it 72 hours before per the Brown Act.
Yeah, so you want to post it, include it in the agenda if we're aware of it at that time.
Right.
But if it's something that arises that morning, the Brown Act here with this change, this legislative change, would allow the board to take it up, even though it's not on the agenda.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clarify. It looked like that from your memo, but I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Yeah.
You still have to get on camera, though, and get gussied up and not have a Hawaiian shirt on when you know.
You know, for some of us who have a grandchild being born in Hawaii in end of March, early April, really might find I'm the caretaker of them while they go to the hospital. So you may find me doing that, but we'll see. I should know ahead of time, and then you can blow it up in the press. It can be on the headline.
Headline risk.
Make sure you have a view of the beach behind you when you do that.
Yeah. Luckily, usually in Hawaii, you sit at my great grandfather's desk in a very small office, so it works pretty well. No beach views there.
Thank you for that. Any other questions regarding this new bill?
excuse me, Karen. Going back to 1824. That was directed at service or safety under 1824.3 said.
Yes. Yeah, it does. The clarification has to do with reference to safety members. I think just because there's these provisions 31663.25 and 31663.26 are safety provisions.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so moving on to AB 2647, you'll find that on page six of the memo. It has to do with documents that may be provided to a board less than 72 hours before the meeting. Of course, if it's before then, it would be part of the agenda. But if there are situations where documents are provided to board members less than 72 hours before the meeting, then those need to be made available to the public for inspection. This bill clarifies that writings distributed to the members of the governing board less than 72 hours before the meeting can be posted on the agency's website if physical copies are made available for public inspection at the beginning of the next regular business hours at the public office or designated location. SB 1100 has to do with board meetings and orderly conduct, and it authorizes the presiding officer or the presiding member of the legislative body to remove an individual for disrupting the meeting, but it requires that the removal be preceded by a warning to the individual. And it also contains definitions about what it means to be disrupting. So disrupting means engaging in behavior during a meeting of a legislative body that actually disrupts, disturbs, impedes, or renders infeasible the orderly conduct of the meeting. I think, you know, I don't know the specific circumstances that gave rise to this, but one can only imagine that certain agencies were experiencing a lot of disruptions and needed more specific ways to deal with them.
You only need to tune into the LA City Council when you're bored on a Tuesday, and you'll see the why of this one.
All right.
And occasionally the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, occasionally.
We're not LA, but occasionally we have some interesting moments in time.
Yeah, it's pretty good theater down there. Yes.
Well, that concludes my report, and I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Karen. Very thorough as always. Yeah, there's a lot of substantive changes that have occurred. My quick and dirty is the Brown Act change regarding hybrid meeting attendance is not ideal. And I see it having limited utility and maybe going to be limited to circumstances like Member Anderson described. I can see that being the type and kind of thing that's going to occur because I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in Blanca Rubio's office to hear the discussion about all of these conditions and limitations. Would have been interesting, but it is what it is. It's the law. So any comments or questions for Karen? I'm not seeing any others. So thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You as well.